Now, as we say, we give you everyone a very warm welcome. If you're here for the first time, we give you a doubly warm welcome. I'd just like to put everybody at ease tonight. You know, some people have never been in a gospel hall before. They feel rather strange, and the question, and they wonder just what goes on. And on many occasions, I've spoken to people who have never been in halls, and some who have been in halls, and, you know, the impression they get that the Christians are kind of odd people. Well, I just want to tell you, dear friends, that there's nothing odd about us. We're only normal, working, just hard-working people, and we're bound for heaven, and our sins are forgiven, and we know the Lord Jesus as our own personal Saviour. And I can honestly say that if it's either apart from tonight, just like your dear sister, it's absent from the body and it's present with the Lord, which is very, very far better. Now let me ask you, could you get anything better? To know where you're going, and to be assured of it, that it'll be heaven and home and happiness and joy for all eternity. It's a great thing to be a Christian and to know God as your Father, as we'll be reminded in prayer tonight. Now I just want to read three scriptures. Firstly, in John chapter 3, in keeping with our hymn, and read from verse 1. Says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, back in the New Testament to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. And again, we read from verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called that little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then finally in the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 13. And we'll again read from verse 1. There was present at that season some that told him, the Lord Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners? Of all the Galileans, because they suffer such things, I tell you nay. But except to repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the power and Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now we trust that God will add a blessing to the reading of his own good word. Now we would benefit simply tonight, we trust by the Lord's help to encourage you to consider these things that we've read, these verses we've read together. And I just want to think about three things that the Lord Jesus taught that a man or a woman must have before they could ever claim to be a Christian. Now I know that word Christian is used glibly in our world, it's used glibly in our nation. You know, you just need to go around the doors for a few days and you'll find out that everybody thinks they're a Christian. And I'm quite sure, I've heard it even on the news, I've heard it that our government, our MPs think this is a Christian country. Well, it might be civilised, but I want to say, my dear friend, it's not really totally Christian. And then a while ago, I took up the Daily Mail And I got often read the mail, but I took it up and I saw a little clip in the paper that talked about the militia Christian soldiers. And I could hardly create bombs and bullets and Tomahawk cruise missiles and hand grenades with Christianity. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that to love your enemies and to do good to them that persecute you. And so I can hardly equate such a term as Christian militia soldiers. And then, sad to say, we're living in a world, I hope this doesn't offend you, but it's true, we're living in a world where men have got the audacity to talk about the Christian gay movement. My dear friend, what an affront to me to God. To think that away there back in the book of Genesis, that he rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, really for the same thing, and for the same sin. And so, my dear friends, I want to remind you, and I want you to understand tonight in the Gospel, if you've never understood before, that a Christian is one who really belongs to Christ. A Christian is a man who knows salvation through him. And there's got to be, and there must be, as we've read from John chapter 3, there must be that new birth. There must be that change, according to Matthew chapter 18. There must be repentance, according to Luke chapter 13. And my friend, I want to make it remind our hearts tonight that Christianity is not just another religion, but Christianity is a definite relationship with Christ. And you know, I'm sure that every dear soul that's in this hall saved and bound for heaven, they can never ever forget the day or the time of the year when they made that relationship with Christ and when they come to trust him for their very souls. My friend, it's a real thing, and it's a right thing, and it's a good thing. And thank God, you'll never begin to live in a real sense until you find true life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to say this, that in John chapter 3, that the Lord is teaching that what men needed and what Nicodemus needed, and remember this, that he was a religious man. He knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. He knew it better than I know it. And he knew all that, but he never had Christ. And what the Lord Jesus is teaching Nicodemus, and I trust what the Lord Jesus is teaching everyone in this hall, that what men need and what women need in the present dispensation and in the present year 2006, my friend, if you're in this meeting and you're still unconverted and you're not a believer and you're not bound for heaven, that what men need is an inward change of nature. Is that not evident in our world? You know, I'm glad I spoke to Stephen, because I've always had a problem with people speaking to me at the doors with a certain subject. They say, in fact, there was a dear woman just spoke to me the other day there. She said, you know, if there's a God, he says, why did he intervene in all the problems of the world? And I said to my friend Roy and my friend Stephen, and we go around the doors, my dear brother, what do you feel would be the answer to that? Well, I'm glad for what Stephen said. He said, you need to remind them that God would need to firstly deal with the basic thing, that is sin. And that is true. You see, my dear friend, the problem in our world is not really bombs, or missiles, or these kind of things. But the problem with man, and maybe the problem with you tonight, is the great question of your sin. It's a great moment in a man or a woman's experience when they come to understand and when they come to appreciate and when they come to confess that they're a sinner in the sight of God. It's a great moment, my friends, when you come to see yourself as God sees you and come to appreciate what God says about you and what God says about the Lord Jesus, who is the Saviour of sinners. This is a painful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want to remind every soul in this meeting this evening that really what man needs, if you're a true Christian tonight, is an inward change of nature. What the Lord Jesus is really saying is this, that you need a new life for him. And so what he says in verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And he brings that challenge later on in verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I just want to ask a wee question today. My dear soul, are you born again? Now, I hope you're an honest man. And I hope you're an honest woman. To answer that rightly and truthfully in the presence of God, can you honestly say in the presence of God this evening that I'm a child of God? I would remind a dear man just yesterday that I'm not a thing that would break the link between him and his mother.
whether his mother are loving or not, you'll always be the son of his mother because he was born into the family. And my friend, if that is true in the natural realm, I want to say it's more so true in the spiritual realm. And so the Lord Jesus presses home the point in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that religious man. He says, Nicodemus, remember this, that you must be born again. I heard the story about the dear old minister who took it up for a month. Every Sunday was the same subject, John chapter 3. You must be born again. And the next Lord's Day, you must be born again. And on he went for the whole month, and he just took that one verse up, you must be born again. And his elders were all tired of his sermons. And he went to him and he said, couldn't you change your message? You know, you're always asking, you must be born again. He said, well, remember, you must be born again. And you know, my dear friend, I want to say this to you. That is a death knell to what? That is a death knell to doing the best you can for heaven. Because really, getting to heaven has nothing to do with us. The work has been done. And Christ has died. And Christ was buried. And Christ rose again. And Christ in heaven tonight. And the Lord Jesus is a Saviour. A Saviour God. And let me remind you that he's able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. Would it be lovely now to come to him tonight and confess that you're a sinner and just say what others have said? Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, how canst make me whole? There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee that was died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. Now let me ask you, dear friends, what a aroma. What a message. You know, this message that we preach, it's one of the greatest messages that has never been Lord of ears. I always think about the gospel as being a sublime in its theme because it concerns the Lord Jesus. It's nothing to do with men. I'm glad about that. And it's got nothing to do with preachers. And I'm more glad about that. And nothing to do with ministers or priests. My friend, understand tonight that the message of salvation and the message of the gospel, that the very kernel of the message is the blessed person of the Lord Jesus who died at the center of St. Calvary. And what a message it is. Not only sublime in its theme, but I'm only glad to remind you it's simple in its terms. You know, you're not asked to do anything. In one sense you are. You're asked to repent and come by faith. But let me remind you, my dear soul, the work's finished. The work is done. You're not asked to pay for it. And you're certainly not asked to do penance for it. But you're not asked to work for it. My friend, the work is complete and the work is finished. Christ did that upon the cross. And you're not asked to come by faith. And come on the grounds of repentance and take your place before God and trust the Lord Jesus and remember this, it's God that's saying thou shalt be saved. Now let me tell you, could you get any better message than that? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, God says thou shalt be saved. As we mentioned last evening, saved from the penalty of your sin, and saved from the power of sin, and thank God one day when we're home in heaven, saved from the very presence of sin. My dear friends, what a message we're going to preach. That's why we're not ashamed of it. That's why we can stand shoulder to shoulder with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1:16 and say, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know, this man had to learn that lesson from the Lord Jesus in John chapter 3. And I want to say that the work of Christ upon the cross is the death knell of the works that you can do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, the Lord is not saying in John chapter 3 that the new birth is an alternative. And he's not even saying it's another option. And he's not even saying in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus that you could be born again. Or they might be born again. What the Lord was saying to Nicodemus, my dear soul, and what the Lord is saying to you tonight is this, that you must be born again. If heaven you've ever to be entered, if the joy of that place and bliss you've ever to know, you must be born again. Now I said last night, people wonder what is their greatest need. Now I don't know what you would say if I asked you to go out the door, but I wouldn't ask you. I wouldn't embarrass anybody about it. If I was to ask you tonight, what do you feel was your greatest need at the present moment? I wonder what you would say. Now I know that people say, well, man's greatest need is more money. I suppose everybody can include it in that. And, you know, man's greatest need is better health, or a better environment, or security in old age, I want to remind you, my dear friend, that man's greatest need is spiritual. What man needs and what you need tonight and what men need and what the world needs is really a summon to bring to God. And I want to tell you that that's found in the Lord Jesus. We're very glad to say in this hall, that lovely hymn, there's a wee chorus, there's a way back to God from the dark past of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And you know, I could understand in John chapter 3, the Lord saying that to a man like Pilate. They were considered Pilate last night that judged the Son of God. I could understand the Lord saying to Pilate, listen, Pilate, you must be born again. And I could imagine, I could understand the Lord saying that to Herod, the king of Israel. Herod, you need to be born again. And so he did. And I certainly could understand, as we mentioned last evening, the Lord Jesus saying that to Judas, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. I could understand the Lord saying that to Judas. But I want to tell you, my friend, I could understand the Lord saying that to some rascal. But you know, he says it to a religious man. He says, Nicodemus, I want to remind you. And I want to tell you, you must be born again. But what the Lord was teaching Nicodemus was this, that he needed an inward change of nature. He needed a new life. He needed something different. He needed help from an outside source. And my friend, what was true of Nicodemus is true of you tonight. I wonder if you need actually your experience. I wonder tonight if you have you got eternal life now. I wonder if you just know where you're going, if you're sure of your future, and you know your next step. I know that we hardly know which round the corner, but I'm only glad that I know where I'm going. I can see that lovely poem, God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted to me, I might be sad. I didn't know his future plan, but this I know. I have the smiling of his face, I have the refuge of his grace while here below. You know, thank God for a man that not only saved, but bless God for a man that keeps. And it's by the grace of God that we're here tonight, and you know, the same grace that saved us, and the grace that keeps the saints, is the same grace that will save our land as home to heaven. So let me ask you, dear soul, very kindly, do you know anything about it tonight? Are you born again? I just want to think for a wee moment about the concern this man showed. Do you notice what it says? It said, the same came to Jesus by name. I just said the same thing. I just want to make a wee point tonight. He just came as he was. He came as he was. You know, I've spoken to people, and I'm sure, in fact, we've all spoken to people about their soul, and the sisters as well, as we take the opportunity to testify for the Lord Jesus for such a great message. And you know, my dear friend, I want to say that a lot of people say, I'll need to try and sort out my life. You know, I'll need to try and make amends. I'll need to try and turn over a new leaf before I think about religion, and before I think about the gospel, and before I think about salvation. Let me tell you, my dear friend, that's put the cart before the horse. Just you come to the Lord Jesus tonight. And just you come by faith. And just you come on the ground of repentance and take your place before him. And come to value that when he died upon the cross, he died for your sins. And let him do the work. And let him do the saving. And he'll do the changing. He'll do the changing. And so what Nicodemus did was an inward change of nature. You'll notice too that he came by name. Now great speculation has been made from many of the platforms about why he came by name. I'm not going to make any speculations, but I'm only glad for one thing, that he came at all. You know, friends, I was just thinking, in my simple way of thinking, that he could have waited till the morning. Now, I just wish tonight that there was more people like Nicodemus and labour or metal tonight. And I would only wish, my dear soul, and I thank God you're here, and I trust you'll come back, and you know, the blessing of God in your soul. But you know, I hope you're like Nicodemus. I hope you're really concerned about your soul. I just thought he couldn't wait. You really feel this was an important matter, and so it is. You know, we can put many an appointment off. It's quite easy to put the appointment off with the doctor, or the dentist, or the hairdresser, but my friend, this is a great appointment that you need, an appointment with Christ. And I just feel that this dear man, even in all of religion, and knowing the Old Testament like the back of his hand, he just felt that this was his opportunity, and he came by night. And you know what he found out? He found out that the Lord Jesus was available. You know, I think it's marvellous. I don't know what you think about the Saviour tonight. I don't know what you think about Christianity tonight, but I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing to know Christ. You know, he's available at any time. That's an amazing thing. I was saved at 9:10. And you know, there's a man in the Bible in Acts chapter 16, and he was saved at midnight. And I know other people too. They were saved at different times, and I was saved. Just being saved, it means they became a Christian. They were born again. And you know, not only is available at any time, but it's funny to see Nicodemus came to understand. It was available anywhere. You know, I was saved in my home. And you two men, and they're still living yet, they're younger than me, and I remember the night they got saved in Bowness, they were kneeling in the gutter in the school brae. And you know, there's a man in Acts chapter 8, and he was saved in the desert. See, somebody, what a strange place to find Christ. But my friend, let me remind you, he's available anywhere. Acts chapter 16, you know, the jailer found him in the jail. And they could go on and on and on. He's available anywhere. And let me tell you, dear soul, he's available for everyone. That's what I love about the gospel. It's sweeping in its scope. It includes all and it excludes none. I hope you've learned that God loves you. And you've come to understand that Christ died for you. And that he really wants to save you. See, somebody wasn't meant to save you. He just wants to save you from your sin. You see, my friend, you'll never be in heaven with your sin. Your sin's going to be cleansed. And your sins ought to be forgiven. And just let me remind you again, very, very simply, that Christ has paid the price. You know, the wee child said in his life, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He's the only good and lovely gator of him that led us in. It's all his work, and it's all that he's done at the place called Calvary. And you know, I want to say that he's available for you tonight if you will only come to the Savior. Just let me remind you too, there's no barriers. I think I did say the other time, or one time I was here, I was down in London from my dear wife and friends, and I thought we were really going to see Mrs. Thatcher at 10 Downing Street. Well, let me tell you, friends, when I got to Downing Street, there was no chance of ever seeing her. Not even the slightest glimpse through the window. Because when we got to Downing Street, there was nothing but barriers and priests and soldiers, and they were protecting 10 Downing Street. And I came to understand, and I remember saying to my wife, well, we're just as well to go because we'll never see her. But my friend, let me tell you that's not true about the Saviour. It is available anywhere and at any time, and is available for everyone. Thank God the message of the gospel tonight is for the whosoever. Listen, if you forget all I say tonight, I do trust that the Spirit of God will remember that wee verse in your soul, John chapter 3 verse 16. It's been this very chapter that we've read from tonight, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wouldn't you like it tonight? Well, let me tell you, your soul, you could get it. You know why? Because there's no barriers. Not one. No racial barriers. Oh, that wee chorus, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yellow, red, and black and white, all are precious in his sight, for Jesus loves the little children of the world. No racial barriers. No moral barriers. No financial barriers. No religious barriers. No intellectual barriers. I often say, if there'd been an intellectual barrier, I would never have got it. And my dear friend Roy got one way, he would have got it, and I would have missed out. But there's no intellectual barriers. My dear friends, understand tonight that the message of the gospel, that good news that has come from heaven, guaranteed and calculated to meet men and women and boys and girls and all the meanest sinners, let me tell you, it's come from the very heart of God. And God loves you. I trust you'll remember that tonight, and I trust that the Spirit of God will burn out your soul, that God loves you and Christ died for you. And I want to tell you something more. The dear saints have been praying for you. And we're loved that you get what they've got. And that is being born again. You know, when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, I don't know what he was thinking. You'll see his confession in this chapter. He says, we know that our master come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, he knew about Christ, but he really didn't know Christ. I don't know what you thought when you listened to the Saviour. I don't know if you expected to hear what you heard. But what he did hear, I do believe, it shook the very edifice of his faith. Because he wouldn't expect to hear what he heard. And you know, he was a religious man, and he had fame, and he had popularity, and he had position amongst men. And the remarkable thing about this is he wasn't really satisfied. He wasn't really satisfied. He came to Jesus by name. And you know, I do believe that what he heard went down in his heart,
Because the Word of God makes that clear later on in the chapter of John's Gospel. But you know, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, he just asked for other remarks. I remember I spoke to a dear woman in Bowness, and I had to tell her, I said, my dear, I want to tell you, if you're going to be in heaven, you'll need being the Father of God, and you'll need to be born again. And you know, she just said, what Nicodemus says, she's out in that way. But the Lord teaches Nicodemus how he could be born again. He says, can a man be born the second time? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? He says, Nicodemus, remember this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. But he's just saying this. He's saying, Nicodemus, you need a new nature, and you need a new life. But you know, I love what he says. He says, how can these things be? How can these things be? And the Lord goes on to tell him. And the Lord goes on to see the way in which it's done. And the way in which he could be born again. He says, Nicodemus, he says, remember this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He says, even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you got it? That's why the gospel's simple tonight in its terms. You don't have to do any great thing, you just have to believe. We heard that quoted in prayer tonight, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe by faith. Believe by faith. Take your place, your rightful place in the presence of God and believe by faith. And my dear friends, it's very clear that the Lord Jesus in the 20th chapter, he gives the final answer. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think it's remarkable, and I'm sure that every preacher does, and I'm sure Frank's had the same experience as maybe others. You know, you gave me children coming to you, and you know, I remember when I was over at UC Stevenson, there was a dear soul there, this was only 10 years of age, and you know, after the meeting was finished, she got near me, and she got nearer and nearer, and I wondered what she was trying to do. And I heard that father say, God, tell him. He says, Mr. Meikle, I got saved today. And you know, isn't it remarkable that children can get it? And children can see it, and big fool can't. My dear soul, I want to remind you, we're all getting older. And every day takes us nearer eternity. You remember that solemn verse from David, there's a step between me and David. And there's not just a step, but there's a heartbeat. I couldn't tell you the number of folk that have died over the last fortnight just in our area, and there's another one tonight and all. Away home, we know where she is, and thank God for that. I took a funeral just about 3 weeks ago of a young man, 32 years of age. I'm only glad that Mark was saved. And you know, you could multiply these numbers over and over again. And you know, my dear, so we're not sure about tomorrow. And don't bank on tomorrow. Tomorrow's not yours. Today is yours. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't go home tonight from the gospel meeting and say, I'll come back tomorrow. You might never come back. I was just reminding dear Stephen at the tea table tonight, or before the tea table, you know, Brother Roy and I had meetings in the wee village of Pooris, just not so far from here. And you know, we started the meeting on a Monday night, and we started with children's meeting, but only two came. And we had a wee meeting for about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes. And we sat the rest of the time till 7 o'clock. And then the meeting for the adults were from 7 to 8. And we sat to 10 to 8 and nobody came. I just had one word of prayer and we were going home. We're just about to open the door, but the door opened itself. Well, it didn't really open itself, but, you know, there was folk came in. And there was a woman of 35 and a young girl of 23. And I remember what Isabel Anderson says to us. She says, did the meeting finish? And I said, no. And I gave Roy a wee wink. And he had a meeting, he had a wee message for 10 minutes. And I'll never forget what that dear woman said to her around the door. It was in the winter time, the dead of winter, but the snow was on the ground, it was so cold. And she went out that door, and her last words were these, I'll go back on Thursday. And Thursday came and she never returned.
And Monday came and another came. And Tuesday came and another came. And we made a few inquiries. And we found out that very night. The next morning she was found dead in the field just across from the home. Maybe with these words ringing in her soul. I'll be back on Thursday. I hope, my dear soul, you're not going to go out to meeting tonight and say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And I know that I should put matters right with God. And I know that I should be born again. I know all that. But, you know, I'll just wait for tomorrow. You know, tomorrow. Tomorrow, I need to believe, my friend, let me tell you, tomorrow never comes. Today is yours. I trust God will give me grace to be like Nicodemus, and that you'll come to Jesus. And it certainly would be nice to me if you got saved tonight. And if you get saved where you're sitting, we're not asking you, as I said the other evening, we're not asking you to put your hand up or sign a card or come to the front. My friend, you can trust the Lord Jesus just where you're sitting, and between you and Him. Not between you and Christians, it's between you and Him. And I trust that you hear the words of the Son of God, that what you need tonight in the meeting is an inward change of nature. You need a new life. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, and we will all things have become new. Wouldn't you love it? Would you like to get it tonight? Well, you can, but you'll get it by faith. Now, I'm going to call my time's finished fast, but let me just, 5 minutes and I'll close. Not only an inward change of nature, a new life that lives in Christ, but, you know, Matthew chapter 18 reminds me, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what Matthew is teaching, and what the Lord is teaching is this, that there's got to be an outward change of life. Now, I speak to people, and they tell me they're Christians, and when you look at their life, they would break every law in the Bible. My dear friend, it's not a matter of saying you're a Christian, it's a matter of showing you're a Christian. And so Paul says in Corinthians that all things are passed away, and we of all things are become new. I was just reminding dear Stephen as we were talking in the house tonight that we're not only justified by faith, that is Romans chapter 8, but my dear Christian friend, remember this, you're justified by works, that is James' epistle. And the proof that a man's saved is that it's sure in his life. Old bones gone, old habits gone, old friendships gone, because I want to remind you that the salvation that doesn't change a man's life will certainly never change a man's destiny. And so the Lord teaches very clearly in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there are many examples in the Bible. Life's changed. We were speaking the other night about Saul of Tarsus and what a man he was. An invented enemy of the Lord Jesus. He talks about himself as a persecutor, a blasphemer, and an injurious person, and he slaughtered the Christians. But when God saved them, he was changed. And you see to me, how do you know? Well, time proved that he was real. You know, when I go to Acts chapter 9, the very chapter that talks about his conversion, there was a man sent by God to go to him. And you know, Ananias said about Saul, he said, behold, he prayed. You know, my dear friends, when you become a Christian, you pray. Hope we all pray. That's essential. And then he says in verse 18, he arose and got baptized. That's expected. God expects every believer to be baptized. And of course, it says in verse 20 that he preached Christ. That's not all. And you know, Saul was totally, radically changed. He got that new life in Christ. And they'll have to prove it day by day. But then thirdly, he says in Luke chapter 13, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, my friend, what the Lord is teaching there, that what we need is a Godward change of mind. Not only an inward change of nature and an outward change of life, but a Godward change of life. To think differently about sin. To hate sin as God hates it. And to see sin as God sees it. And to turn away from it. You know, that's what men need. A Godward change of life. And you know, you can have this blessed salvation. You can have this new nature. You could be born again tonight and you say, well, how could I have it? Well, you'll not get it from me and you'll not get it from the Christians. But let me tell you, friends, if you come to faith, if you come to Christ by faith, He'll give you it. Remember this, come on the grounds of repentance. It's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm glad this, I'm glad it is a Saviour that I know. And I can honestly say that he's never once failed me or let me down. I failed him and let him down, but he's never failed me. And I know him as a true friend and a real Saviour. And I would only long, my dear soul, that you might find him as well tonight. Just do what Nicodemus did, because the Bible goes on to tell us that Nicodemus really was converted, and he really was changed, and he had that new life that was found in Christ. And I would like to pray, and the saints of God have been praying as well, that you might get it, and that you might get it tonight. That there's nothing stops you, and there's nothing to withhold you from coming to the Saviour tonight. Just come by faith, and come on the ground of repentance, and believe in the Lord Jesus, and God says, thou shalt receive. And you'll know that inward change of nature, and you'll know that outward change of life, and you'll have that God-like change.